Ohio Linux Fest 2008, Columbus, Ohio, October 10th and 11th. Visit www.ohiolinux.org for more information.
Let's get down to business.
The Linux Night Tech Show is on. Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software. Free speech, open technology, and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Another exciting episode of the Linux Link Tech Show. This is episode 264. Today is Wednesday, September 24th, 2008.
Our five-year anniversary.
Can you turn up
the anniversary?
Happy anniversary.
Can you turn up your air conditioner?
Happy anniversary.
Can you turn up your air conditioner so you can drown everybody else out? Thanks.
Sorry.
Because you. Your anniversary, guys.
But that we've done 5 years worth of shows.
Wow, that is excellent. That's like a birthday. You should have a cake.
We predate the term podcast.
Well, we expect to have our cake and eat it too at OLF this year.
We actually had the cake last year.
Yeah, you know what? We had a cake at the Ohio Linux Fest at the pre-party last year because the Ohio Linux Fest took place on the 10th anniversary of my home log, which is Western PA Linux Users Group. And the folks from our home log wanted to celebrate with cake. And we had cake.
And beer.
And beer, too,
you know,
yes.
And you know what? We haven't introduced our guests. We've got Beth Lynn Eicher from the Ohio Linux Fest Executive Committee. Beth, it's great talking to you. We know you from going to OLF the last couple of years. Welcome to the show.
I am so excited to be here.
And I'm excited that you're here, too. You are the heart and soul of OLF, are you not? You're the one that makes it all happen. Don't be modest.
Well, most definitely. I rescued this show from possible disaster many a times, and I probably will do it several times again and again and again because it's just too beautiful for me to do anything else. But I just love the Ohio Linux Fest. I want to give a shout-out to my mom if she's listening. Hi, Susan Rose.
She's listening to this show.
My mom, Susan Rose, has been coming to the Ohio Linux Fest. This will be her third year coming to the Ohio Linux Fest coming up. And last year she finally admitted that this is practically a grandchild to her, the Ohio Linux Fest, and that she should pay a visit to the Ohio Linux Fest community once a year. So she goes.
And
she has a great time.
That's awesome. To get your family to support you in this is great.
Well, my husband goes, too. He's been going every year since year two. And you know what? The Ohio Linux Fest folks really are feeling like family, and that definitely includes present company.
Well, thank you. You know, when I've been at the OLF, and nobody really gets to see you at OLF for very long periods of time. You're always flitting around trying to you know, prevent one disaster from happening while, you know, taking care of another. And by the time the end of the show, all I remember is seeing you, like, half passed out at the closing speech, just sitting
That's
there.
That's right.
Yeah, just laying across the chairs. It must be an exhausting, like, couple of months leading up to it, and then, wow.
I am everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Do you actually get to enjoy the show?
Well, yeah, yes, I sure do enjoy the show. What I enjoy the most about the show is the recursive goodness that comes out of it. That it's not just a one-day thing anymore, that it really inspires people to do things back in their hometowns, whether it be create some other large Linux and or open source event, or it may cause them to get more involved in their local lug. But I just see it as I'm only one person, but I can experience so many victories that I have absolutely no idea what going on, and it's an incredible blessing for me to be in this sort of position to really be one of the faces that is really marketing Linux without any corporate nonsense behind it. I think a couple shows ago, heck, probably about a year ago, a show ago, I think you guys had Helio on. And
he's been on a couple times.
Yes.
Talking about how Linux needs to have more opportunities like the Indy 500, where they put tux on a car and made it go. I definitely agree that we really do need to take up the idea that the job of marketing Linux is really everybody's job. I wrote a piece for the Western PA Linux Users Group newsletter, The Open Pit, quite a years back about who is the spokesperson for Linux. And I brought up a couple of popular candidates like Linus Torvalds himself and Eric Raymond and Richard Stallman. And if I really had to point one finger at one individual, I wouldn't point it at any of those guys. You know who I would point it at?
Me.
Gentlemen?
Me.
Me. Well, maybe I should.
I don't know.
But
who.
If I had to be one person, I would give it to John Mad Dog Hall, because he has really done everything in his power to make and inspire the event like the Ohio Linux Fest. He has definitely been a wonderful friend of the Ohio Linux Fest, definitely ever since year two of our show.
You know, as you were rattling off the names of people who could be a spokesperson for Linux, that was ringing in the back of my mind, like John Mad Dog Hall, John Mad Dog, because you're right, he is I think he would be a phenomenal face for Linux. He not only looks like the archetypical geek, but he does a fantastic job, and he's so enthusiastic.
Well, I met Peter Salas a couple of years ago at another conference, and he was wearing a T-shirt that was the Sistine Chapel form T-shirt. I don't know if you guys ever saw this, where Linus Torvalds is basically Adam that's reaching out ever so casually to a Tux Penguin on the other side. And behind Linus, you have some angels, and Mad Dog is there as one of Linus's angels. Now, that
yeah,
t-shirt,
I do remember seeing that. Mm-hmm.
That T-shirt was from a sadly defunct show called the Atlanta Linux Showcase. Guys, you ever hear of that?
Didn't
that's
he?
One of the original conferences.
Yeah, well, there are a couple reasons why I've heard through the rumor mill as to why that is no longer alive. But one of the big ones I've heard is because of the dot-com bust happened at a rather unopportune time for them. And I'm thinking about this year's show and all the talk in the media about financial disaster. And really, the Ohio Linux Fest is okay. We'll be doing fine, certainly, for this year. And I'm also working the money aspect as the treasurer of the board of Ohio Linux Fest, so it's really my job to make sure that there's going to be at least some emergency funds to put together something, anything, for the following year, even if there's complete and utter disaster and chaos in the world, that there will still be the joy of Linux there at the Ohio Linux Fest.
Just out of curiosity, though, and maybe you can enlighten other people, because I know that a member of our community, a bunch of members of our community, are looking to head up a conference called the Southeast Linux Fest, and Dave Yates is the president of that movement there. And just out of, in a ballpark, I mean, what does it cost? Not in money, so to speak, but not in just time and all the effort put into it. But what is the cost of running an event like OLF, a ballpark figure? You don't have to be exact.
Well, if you had only people who were doing it for a paycheck, you'd be talking about at least a $10,000 show. I mean, $100,000 show, at the very least. But because we use all volunteers, nobody's paid. I'm certainly not paid, and I'm the treasurer of the Ohio Linux Fest. So what we do is we just utilize a whole lot of resources that we just happen to have access to. Like Greg runs an ISP called Internet. Those guys have been really an excellent part of the Ohio Linux Fest team, our friends there at Internet. Anyhow, it really takes things like a supportive employer, supportive family to really get you through it. And of course, you definitely need some capital to get you going. I mentioned that year two, John Mad Dog Carl was a great friend of the Ohio Linux Fest because we were in a situation where we had zero capital, no venue, T-minus less than 8 weeks before the show. And a bunch of folks who were standing around were saying, well, too bad. I guess we should just pack it in and go home. And sadly, the Ohio Linux Fest would have just died, and it would have caused somewhat of a ripple effect of people who wanted to come to the Ohio Linux Fest and be like, well, gee, those Linux people don't have their act together, so let's go use some other operating system, which would be absolutely positively tragic. John Mad Dog Hall referred to it as a sin against God to allow the Ohio Linux Fest to fail that way. So he floated us a loan to cover the cost of the festival, showed up himself, he gave us plenty of great things to raffle off, so that we could recoup most of our capital. And yeah, that year two was a $7,000 show, and we broke even. Really amazing stuff. And I've got to give a shout out to Jonathan Billings, who was my office mate at the time of year two of the Ohio Linux Fest, and he gave me a lot of the confidence to keep going and keep pursuing the Ohio Linux Fest, even though it didn't look like it was going to survive. and really gave me a lot of the emotional support to not quit. The other reason why I mentioned Jonathan Billings is he'll be one of the instructors at the OLFU class on Friday. But I'm interested in hearing more about the Southeast Linux Fest. Are those the folks who are trying to do this somewhere in the Carolinas?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that they're doing a good job trying to get some research done. What I definitely suggest anybody do if they want to get involved in putting together a conference is go to some conferences and take notes of what you like and what you don't like. You should go to commercial conferences, and you should go to community conferences like the Ohio Linux Fest, or Northwest Linux Fest, or the Ontario Linux Fest, or the Southern Cal Linux Expo, to name a few, because those folks are the ones who are really doing it for the love of it, because if you don't love this stuff, then quite honestly, why are you here? I've come into more people in the commercial aspect of Linux who really just are in it for the money, which is a real shame. But there are always people who are in it basically because they really love the software and they really want to have excellent people to party with. And there's really nobody who parties like the Ohio Linux Fest. Am I right, folks?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of parties, what parties are available to member people going to the OLF this year?
Well, we will be at Barley's again, and you fine folks definitely know what sort of exquisite ales are available there. But the extra special treat about Barley's this year, that will be on Friday night, by the way, is that we have the entire brewing basement to ourselves.
Oh, we got the dungeon.
Yes, we got the dungeon. Yeah, Greg calls it a dungeon, but it just smells too much like barley for me to think that it's done down there. But it really is a fun place.
We had a blast there last year. We had a blast there the first year we went. One of the really cool things about OLF that, you know, that really got to me was, you know, we had gone to Linux World Expo. I've been to that a few times in New York and up in Boston. And, you know, while that was a great show, you know, everybody who was involved with Linux attended those shows, and they were fantastic. You know, we presented in the .org pavilion at the last one in Boston back in 2006. And that same year, we went to Ohio Linux Fest for the first time, and it really blew us away, like, how awesome of a community event it was. It was a complete, while Linux World Expo Boston was great, and we got to meet a lot of cool people involved at Linux, the whole community aspect of OLF really, really hit home. And it's a real great community event. The people are fantastic. That's the best thing about OLF to me.
Well, that's beautiful. I really hope that you enjoy this year's event, because I feel that the Ohio Linux Fest is a little bigger than a community at this point. It's a neighborhood. In a neighborhood, you have people who are not only sharing common resources like they do in a community, but they live there. It's a way of life, that there's a place to grow, a place to play, a place to work, a place to sleep, a place to be yourselves, and certainly a place to pass on to your children that this is a legacy thing here. That's why I'm thinking, well, maybe, just maybe, that if there's something bigger than a community, then I think it's a neighborhood.
And that is what's beautiful about OLF, because it does feel like a community. It does feel, it doesn't at all feel corporate, so to speak. And you know, because the feeling that I started getting at Linux World Expo the last couple of years that we were there, it was just more and more... It didn't feel like a community. It felt like going to any other kind of trade show. And it just didn't have, and even being there as presenters, well, not presenters, having a booth there in the .org village, you know, people would come by, and it was great to see people that we knew and were familiar with us and other people. It was great to see that, but overall, it just didn't have that down-home community feeling that OLF has. Know what I'm saying, Beth?
Yeah, well, I've never been to a Linux World or any of those that were specific to Linux for Profit expos, but a friend of mine, Rob Landy, I met him working at, well, a company that I don't want to mention, and he is the founder of PenguinCon. He attended a Linux conference that somebody, honest to goodness, tried to do for a profit circa 1999, and it was an absolute disaster because they planned too big at the beginning, and there just wasn't enough people to support an entire or whole week show, because people would just commit to showing up for one day or so, and then they would leave from both the sponsors and the attendees. But what I think what makes us so successful is we do a lot, and perhaps we do too much on a Saturday, but there's so much excitement there. It's kind of like Disney World. I was talking to Phil, who is the chair of the he's the chair of the speakers this year, and I was telling him that we're going to put the new user track on the first floor so that it's really accessible to the new users, because new users have their eyes wide open, and there is just so much excitement going on at the Ohio Linux Fest. You cannot possibly try to soak it in all at once, that you got to make it easy for the new folks to feel welcome within the Ohio Linux Fest, and this is something that we're trying out this year to really reach out to the new users, and I really hope it pays off.
Now, for people who don't know about OLF, it's a one-day event. Well, you guys added the Friday classes last year, right?
Yeah, we added the Friday classes last year. It's pronounced O-L-F-U. Some people emailed us saying, do you realize you have an F-U in your O-F? Yes, we do. Come on, guys. Grow a sense of humor. And anyhow, we added the supplemental events on Friday, and we are also doing an LPI lab opportunity on Sunday as a patch. That it's an optional patch. If you don't think that these optional events are for you, then that's fine. Most everybody is serviced by Saturday and Saturday only. However, those who like the Friday event, you get to enjoy an opportunity for training, particularly for sysadmins, at a very affordable cost. Those who want to go to a conference at an extremely affordable cost, for crying out loud, the registration is free, can do so on Saturday. And those who want an opportunity to certify themselves as a Linux professional can do so on Sunday. But I feel that the Saturday event attracts the largest amount of people because the Ohio Linux Fest is on a Saturday. That a lot of these folks are either people who are professionals that don't have the time to get away from the office on a Friday to or any other weekday to come to an event, or they are people who have day jobs that have absolutely nothing to do with Linux, just to do Linux as a hobby, and they are no way going to be able to justify to their boss that the Ohio Linux Fest is applicable for their job, so they come on a Saturday and they hang out and they have fun. They do it for the fun of it. But I've been to conferences where people are looking around like, oh my goodness, why did my employer send me here? I'm miserable. But not at the Ohio Linux Fest. I think that it's a beautiful thing that people are there by choice.
Let me ask you, have you guys got a lot of pressure to make the conference more than one day?
Well, certainly, but there's a certain point where you just got to say no. And I'm a really big softy about things, and I want to say yes to everybody who loves Linux and open source as much as I do. But, yeah, there's always talk about, well, why isn't this more than one day? But I like to think of it as, well, for crying out loud, there seems to be more and more folks out there like the Southeast Linux Fest and definitely the Ontario Linux Fest that take a look at us, what we're doing, and they decide that they are going to do something similar in their hometown and really make it awesome. And I really want to cheer them on and say, that's great. No way, shape, or form do I constitute that as competition for what we do at the Ohio Linux Fest, what I consider as an ultimate compliment. And I feel it's a way of extending our event by a day or a week over the course of a year without me having to plan at all. Because remember how I was telling you earlier in the show about the recursive good, that I'm only one person. I only have the same 24 hours in a day that everyone else has. Yes, I'm a lot behind on email and things like that. Yes, there's a lot of content that really needs to get on the Linux Fest website right now. But, hey, this is an opportunity to really enjoy the benefits with a bunch of people that I've never even met. That I see that the opportunities are abundant, and it would be absolutely selfish for me to hug the opportunities that are available for Linux Fest and the like open source sort of conferences on the very same day of the Ohio Linux Fest. In fact, there are, four that I know of that are happening at the same time of the Ohio Linux Fest. Sadly, we're not going to see too many folks from the BSD community at the Ohio Linux Fest because they will be in New York City at Nicebug.
That's unfortunate.
And there are folks in my hometown in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who are doing a Yapsi-related event for the Pittsburgh Perl Workshop, for example.
Yeah, and the week after Ohio Linux Fest, you got the Central PA bug people doing a conference, too.
Yeah, the Central PA folks are really awesome, and I definitely have to give a shout-out to Eric and those folks out there. That they did a beautiful job with the C-Plug Security Conference a couple years back, and they've been itching and itching and itching to do something else, but the advice that I could give to those folks, just in case they're listening, is that you gotta accept that there's just so much you can do up into a certain point, and you just gotta say it's whatever time, this is show time, we're gonna make it happen, we're gonna enjoy ourselves, rather than stressing the details at 7 a.m., you know? I was there helping them set up at the C-Plug Security Conference a couple of years ago, and they were so nervous that they that something wasn't going to look right. And the honest-to-goodness detail is this, that the majority of folks aren't out there to nitpick. That, yeah, every so once in a while I get the absolute laughable suggestion in the suggestion box saying how we should have paid for an attendee's travel fee for us to call ourselves a free show. But there are very few people who have that sort of selfish attitude that everything has to accommodate them. And majority of folks really appreciate that this is a community show, even especially the sponsors of an event like this. Therefore, you really got to really just enjoy yourself and have fun, and it's a show.
And a really good with the boot. So the speaker lineup is pretty good. Another fantastic lineup. You want to go through the list of who you guys have? Who's presenting?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I think that the hidden gem that some people aren't going to know too much about is Elizabeth Garby is talking about what it's like to be a teenager in love with Linux. I am absolutely impressed with Elizabeth's style of presentation. She's an incredibly intelligent young woman. I saw her talk at Southern Cal Linux Expo this January about all sorts of great things that she's been playing with graphics. And I don't know who is the lucky university who will get her the privilege of having her as a student, but she's a senior this year, so there's still time to court her if she's still out there looking for a place to go to school next year. I'm kind of hoping that she'll go to Carnegie Mellon University, because that's where her dad went. That is Bidel Garby, who's going to be talking about peace, love, and rockets. There is also someone local who's going to be bringing out robots. Here's honest-to-goodness robots. And he'll be talking about playing with Linux and robotics. And it's certainly going to be interesting to anybody who likes to tinker with embedded products. That will be a really awesome talk to go to. And I'm really excited about the fact that we've got so many sysadmin sort of tracks this year that it's really hard to pick from. Unfortunately, our tracks of all of our talks aren't organized up there on the schedule just yet, but I came up with some trendy names for the tracks of the Ohio Linux Fest. That it's more on the theme of this is a neighborhood. that a lot of the sysadmin sort of high-tech sort of tracks talk, rather that would be the we built this city track. The talks that are more along the lines of advocacy and getting people together, that would be the town hall track. And the new user track will be called It Takes a Village, because I really do believe that it takes a village or a decent slug to develop a new curious person about Linux into a Linux guru. That's how I got started in Linux, was I saw the Western PA Linux users group and I just signed up because that's what I figured people do when they are curious about Linux. And I have had fantastic mentors through that log, that it really does take a village to raise a Linux newbie into a real, honest-to-goodness Linux guru. There are a lot of people who feel intimidated by Linux, and that are the folks that really need to feel embraced into the community, that no one is born with innate Linux knowledge. I see on the channel, Pat asked who Mr. Rogers and who is the village idiot.
My follow-up question is Microsoft showing up this year?
Oh, no. No, Microsoft is not showing up this year. For whatever crazy reason, Greg, our sponsorship chair, throws out an invitation to Microsoft every single year to see what will happen, and they never respond.
How about Rob Enderle? Is he showing up?
Excuse me?
Rob Enderle.
Who's Rob?
Rob Enderle. You're not familiar with him?
No, I've never heard of this gentleman.
Yeah, he keeps this guy. He's very pro Microsoft. He's like an industry pundit. He constantly gets invited to Linux conferences. And he always gives a talk where he constantly puts down Linux in general. And they continue inviting him to Linux conferences. I don't get it.
Well, you know, I'm going to say it right here and now. If this gentleman wants to attend the Ohio Linux Fest, I will give him the main stage right before the PM keynote for 15 minutes to say whatever the heck he wants. And honest to goodness, if people bring tomatoes, then I can't stop them.
Yeah, like he'd ever show up to something like the Ohio Linux Fest, because that would be like walking into the lion's den, and I don't think he has the guts to do that.
He was a speaker at like Linux World Expo one year, and at the Desktop Linux Summit, you know, that conference that that Linspire used to throw in San Diego going back.
Yeah, but look who sponsors those. Those are all corporate-based conferences. He's not going to show up to a community-based conference.
I wonder what his fee is. Not that we pay a fee to anybody. Everybody who comes to the Ohio Linux Fest is doing so on a volunteer basis. But I wonder if he's out there pimping himself for thousands of dollars just to be the Microsoft weenie. And, like, honest to goodness, why would you do that? What?
Because people pay you thousands of dollars to be the Microsoft weenie.
Well, I am honest to goodness proud to be a Linux geek, I'll tell you that. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Do you ever like I am lucky that all I work in is Linux. You know, I go to work, I'm in Linux. I come home, I'm in Linux. I help my wife with her system, it's Linux. You know, I'm on Linux all the time. And, I mean, do you have that privilege also?
Yeah, I am really happy where I am at. I am at a government job, so I can't say precisely where the site is, but it is in a suburb of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I work as a Linux sysadmin.
How?
And I have absolutely blessed to have made a career of pretty much being a Linux sysadmin and nothing else for the past 8 years now.
I don't want to turn this into a Microsoft bashing show or even an Apple, but how do you feel?
Like, well, come on.
Because that's like every other show. How do you feel when you have to work in a different operating system environment, be it... and I'm not going to include BSD in this or any of the BSDs because they are, you know, they're just as wonderful, I think, to work in as Linux is. But how do you feel when you have to use, like, Apple or OS X or Windows?
Well, I did have an iBook for a couple of years, and I really was disappointed with it, and here's why. I was using it basically as a place for a Unix shell, and I was dependent on the Apple repository to update my software, and they were eons behind on SSH than where the OpenSSH project was and where Theo really wanted everybody to be. And everybody has their own opinions about Theo and his attitude, but to goodness, he's so right about a lot of things with security. And it really felt to be in a really insecure place to be in an Apple environment, trusting Apple that they were going to update your software when I knew for certain that they weren't doing it properly, and it was just not within my conscience as a system administrator to have basically broken software being used to remotely log into other systems that trust me as a intelligent user. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Beth, you know, I don't mean to interrupt you, but let's be honest here. It wasn't broken software. It was software that you just didn't understand that it failed to pass the Apple's quality of service test. So it's not broken.
Oh.
It has yet to be updated.
Okay, let's go there. Then they have a feeling that I'm not to be trusted making the decisions about what sort of software I want to run on my system. That's why I enjoy Linux operating systems that allow you to pick and choose. I really enjoy Ubuntu, where if you want to have a purely free software system with Ubuntu, you can do it. If you want the proprietary drivers with Ubuntu, they'll help you do that too. But I do not want to feel like somebody's treating me like a baby, like I felt in Apple. That's how I feel about that. If you want me to talk about how I feel about Vista, I will never run Vista. Never, never, never run Vista. I bought a laptop at a big box store a couple weeks ago, and I picked that big box store because they actually allowed me to bring in my own Ubuntu Live CD to boot it to see if any of the drivers would work on the show floor model, and they did, and there you go. But quite honestly, I've never logged into a Vista system and never planned to. And I believe that everyone should go look at badvista.org and really soak in exactly the types of freedoms that Microsoft wants to take away from their own customers. And if you want to talk about Microsoft, what I really would have to say to those folks who are Microsoft apologists, look, guys, it is really your own selves who are your worst enemy, because you constantly compete with your own selves. You've got the XP users being drowned by Microsoft's agenda to sell more software, and don't even get me started on Jerry Seinfeld. I've been banning...
You're saying you don't like those ads? Come on. They were pure genius. You didn't see the subtleties and nuances of Jerry Seinfeld? Come on.
Well, if anyone hasn't seen the commercial, you can go to Microsoft.com. And they force upon you their commercial with Jerry Seinfeld, which, ironically, is being compared to on the various blogs of the old-school IBM ads that were out there in support of Linux. You guys remember the Linux Prodigy ads?
Yes.
I am so waiting for that kid to just grow up and say, I am Linux, here I am, and really bust up those two posers who represent a pair of boring operating systems, and I think that you know where I'm going.
I think those two are lovers in secret.
Beth Lynn,
yes?
I just want to let you know that, first and foremost, I'm a PC. And what you say...
Alan's definitely a Mac.
What you say confuses and frustrates me, because I've been hearing time and again from all the pundits out there that in the mainstream press and in the mainstream podcasts that far outshine the paltry piece of crap that we put out, that say that, you know what, Vista is a decent, viable operating system and deserves a second look. I don't understand what you're telling me here. Have you ever run Vista? Have you ever tried it?
I told you before, no.
But do you see, I think you need to get your hands on it and run it and experience the glory of two, not one, but two clocks on the desktop. One digital and one analog, and that's a big-ass analog clock that you get to experience.
And Dan loves big-ass analog clocks.
Quite honestly, these folks are posers. That these are things that have been implemented either in Linux or Unix-based operating systems for sometimes decades, folks. This is...
Come on.
That's
the way I have to stop you right there. Okay, Apple Spaces is innovation. Nobody ever came up with that before Apple did. You know, who would have thought of virtual desktops?
And again, I must stress the innovation behind not one, but two clocks on the desktop. Two!
Well, quite honestly,
because you never need too many clocks.
Folks absolutely bore me. Perhaps is regular computing for folks who are just not ready for Linux yet. And Linux is ready for those folks when they're ready for Linux. And I have always been in tune to the weird computers, the computers that people don't really seem to necessarily own. I would consider my first computer to be an original Nintendo. And whenever I was playing games like Super Mario Brothers, Mom, you remember that if you're listening? Whenever I was playing the Super Mario Brothers, he'd invite some boys down the street because they were my age to come play with me, but they would say, well, you're a girl, you don't know what you're doing here. And it just made me work harder and work stronger and just want to understand more and more about the game and actually see behind the game and really be a master of what was going on with the, really understand every single pixel on the screen, that was precisely where I wanted to be. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever be supporting Linux 20 years later, but I feel that I've accomplished my childhood dream of really having the ability to fully comprehend, even down to the pixel level if I want to really fully appreciate every single bit that the computer system has to offer. Now, you talked about some boring operating systems that really do not accomplish the goal of utilizing your hardware to its potential, but you can still use 32-bit Pentium 2 hardware, and Linux runs fine. You can do a lot of really interesting, cool stuff, and it really enables me, open source really enables me to give away computers, which I wouldn't otherwise be able to do without the huge expense of pirating. I gave away my childhood neighbor a Linux computer a couple months ago, and she's really doing awesome with it. She's never heard of Linux before, but I just locked it down in front of her, and she really grooves it. And I think that that's awesome, that not only don't you necessarily need 64-bit quad-core hardware to run a decent operating system, what you do is you get an opportunity to bring computing to the common being. Somebody asked on the IRC channel, what distro did I use? I used Ubuntu for my childhood neighbor, Chris, because for two reasons. One, I really do believe in its philosophy of Linux for human beings. Two, it had a lot of the educational packages that I think that her 10-year-old son could really benefit from. And it was really amazing. A couple weeks ago, I was over her house, and her son was having trouble with writing a paragraph about his writing style for a communications class. So I sat him down and said, okay, what you do is you can write it down on paper first, on a scratch piece of paper, then go over to the computer and open up Word Processor and start typing what you wrote down, and it will spell check for you and it will grammar check for you, and then you'll have more confidence about your own writing style, because then you'll transfer back to your homework page as to what's on the computer screen, and you'll look really smart. And his eyes lit up, and it was just a really awesome gift to give a child the opportunity to use free software and such a powerful way without having to worry about, oh, gee, that this is going to cost a lot of money, therefore we can't afford this Office suite, we can't afford this operating system, we can't afford this educational game. That's garbage. That what we need to do is level the playing field, not only for the economy of the United States, but for the global economy, so that everybody has equal opportunity to really use a lot of these great educational tools to better themselves.
I have a question for you, Beth Lynn.
Yes?
And it's going to I'm gonna pull back to one of the things that you had first talked about in regards to this. You had come on and you were talking about a little bit about promotion of Linux, and you know, coming back around to what you had just recently said. I'm curious to get your opinion on something, because this is what I have been thinking about. And bring up Helios again, who has a strong opinion and drive to promote Linux, which I think is a great thing. But one of the areas that I struggle with the promotion of Linux is primarily who do you promote Linux to, and how do you promote it, given the fact that while I do strongly believe that Linux is ready for the general user, but only in the sense that the general user is able to acquire a system that has Linux pre-installed on it. You know, if you look at, like, Apple commercials, Apple puts out Apple commercials, and Apple sells the hardware and the operating system. You want an Apple computer, you go to the Apple store or an Apple reseller, and you buy the computer. Microsoft puts out their commercials under the auspice that, you know, if you want Microsoft software, you could walk into the store and buy Microsoft software. Chances are, if you go and buy a computer, it's going to come with Microsoft, you know, unless you're going to buy an Apple. So now you bring Linux into the mix. How do you market Linux to the general, you know, how and who markets Linux to the general population, given that, one, they would need to buy a system with Linux pre-installed, so therefore you would say, well, it would make sense then that Dell or Asus should market their systems and do the marketing for Linux, but they, in a sense, market their hardware, not so much the operating system. They're interested in selling their hardware and pushing their hardware. So who markets and who do you market to, and how do you do it? What's your
opinion
on that?
So there were several questions there. There was who markets, so you said who you market to and who markets, and you said
who do you market to, who does the marketing, and how do you do it?
Okay. So who, I want to tackle that one first, because I think that in the Linux community, who we market to is a problem within our own selves. That this is our own demons that we got to face in the mirror and get real about. There was that back in the good old days when Linus posted, well, I don't know if anybody's going to actually use this operating system that I've been tinkering with, but if you're a developer, then I would enjoy your opinion on this project that I've been working on. That was the tone that Linux started with, that the barrier for entry was extremely high in the very early days of Linux, and that's exactly where it needed to be at that precise point in time. But we got now some people, I wouldn't even call them geeks, you got some absolute knobs who feel that Linux is really their toy, and no one who is a mere mortal should be able to touch it. So they'll take a look at somebody like me. I'm under 30, I'm blonde, I hope that people look at me like I'm a cute chick, And I even asked my husband about this. I do not look like a Linux geek to some folks. That it, unless I'm wearing a Linux t-shirt, I might be blown off by one of these uber snobs who really wants to put down everybody and anybody who really isn't them or isn't inside their inside clique. These are the types of people who really scare people away from Linux, especially women and especially other forms of diversity. And it really comes from the days where code was king. That what I mean is that unless you were an honest-to-goodness kernel hacker, then you have no room for you in the Linux space. Somebody said on a channel like RMS, yes, unless you are 100% drinking the Free Software Foundation Kool-Aid and writing GNU software, then at that point, GNU software wasn't for you. But quite honestly, we need to evolve behind that and say, yes, every single person can make a commitment to the open source community without it being contributing code. I have not contributed a single character of code to Linux or any open source project for that matter. However, what I do best is getting people together and making them feel great about Linux and open source. And I might as well do what I do best for the community that's given back so much to me. So, yes, what we need to do is say who equals everybody and stop being so snobbish saying, oh, this is only for the long-bearded suspenders folks. No, you do not have to look like Mad Dog to run a Linux operating system that regular everyday people can run Linux nowadays, and that we need to get past that, and we need to embrace these people when they show up at our club, when they show up at the Ohio Linux Fest, when they show up on the IRC channel, or when they show up on the mailing list and ask a question they could have easily Googled. Do not belittle these people. I repeat, do not belittle these people, because there may be a question that perhaps hasn't ever been phrased that way, that we are all unique individuals within God's image. Therefore, you really can't say that, oh, geez, you're stupid for not knowing that already. Again, no one's born with innate Linux knowledge. Everybody had to get started somewhere. And yes, there were times where it was scary. Yes, there were times where I was in over my head. Yes, there were times that I broke stuff. Yes, there were times that I screwed up big time. However, it's all part of the journey, the learning experience, and those who are intelligent enough to want to go on this journey, there's more than enough room for everybody. Like I was saying before, it's a paradigm of abundance, and it would be absolutely selfish for me to not be involved in organizing events in the Linux community, because that's what I can do to give back to what has done such a great job of me and keeping me employed for the past 8 years doing practically nothing but Linux. You asked before, who does the marketing? Like I said earlier, that, yeah, you could scratch your head for a while thinking about who is the face of Linux. really embodies Linux? Who is Linux's spokesperson? Again, if you really need to point a finger at somebody, I nominate John Mad Dog Hall. I'd be interested in hearing other nominations, gentlemen. But I really feel that it's everybody's responsibility to market Linux. But even if you are a new user who does not have talent like I do for organizing events, who does not have talent in designing code, maybe there are things from your field of endeavor that you can bring to Linux and the open source community and really make it work. There's one of our speakers, Roland Hess, a.k.a. the Harky Man, who is an artist. He has done a lot of impressive work with projects like the Elephant Stream from the Blender Foundation. And that's just one example how somebody who doesn't code can bring their field of endeavor to the open source community to be part of this overall marketing picture. And it's really not marketing in the traditional sense, but if this was warfare, we'd be the Indians hiding in the trees throwing rocks. Because what we do is we are bigger than any marketing budget that Bill Gates could possibly buy. What we are is a movement to be reckoned with. I almost came close to Bill Gates, if you want to divert to a story about that.
Go ahead.
I was working at Carnegie Mellon University at the time, and he was doing a tour of what he considered the finest computer science schools, and he just decided to invite himself to a by invitation only sort of audience. And you could apply for an invitation. I applied, was rejected, figured that somebody realized that I'm really just a Linux geek and have really no reason to be there. However, I was working with a student group behind the scenes who basically likes to pull pranks on campus, and we burned as many Nofix CDs as we could possibly burn, and we just gave everybody and anybody, including university police, a copy of Nofix, including people within Bill Gates' entourage, copies of Nofix, to the point where thousands of people that day had a copy of Nofix in their hand. And somehow one of these copies of Nofix got into the talk where Bill Gates was giving a talk, and it was the very first question, would you consider running Linux and in fact have my copy of Nofix? And I think that was really awesome that, yes, Bill Gates actually did accept Nofix. Do I believe that he ran Nofix when he went home that night? Absolutely not. He probably just decided to put in his pocket and said, whoa, one less Linux copy out there in the world, so I'm going to just go ahead and destroy it. But look, we have infinite resources. They have finite resources. They only have what they can bring to their own table in Redmond. We have a worldwide moat. So therefore, if we get together and we leverage everything that we have as far as the Linux enthusiasts of the world, we can really transcend the community. I'm talking neighborhood. You asked about how to get Linux on people's desktops. I really strongly suggest that when you are done with a piece of hardware and it's still bootable, for heaven's sake, install Linux on it and give it to somebody who desperately needs a computer. Don't feel like that they're not going to be able to handle it because it's new and unfamiliar. Crying out loud, what is Microsoft Vista, new and unfamiliar? I do not want to introduce my mom, hi mom again, to Microsoft Vista because it would be new and unfamiliar to her, and I certainly don't want to support that. But I would rather support Linux on the desktop of my friends and family than support Vista. And I think that it could be a tool to help people build relationships with the people who are really close to them. So it really doesn't need to necessarily be a corporation or a storefront that provides Linux for you. It can be a person that provides Linux for you with perhaps the help of a Linux users group. My friend Vance, who's the chair of Western PA Linux Users Group, wrote an article for the Open Pit a couple years ago called Who's Supporting You? It talks about a story of how he was basically fingered out as somebody who knew a little bit about computers just because he looked like a geek. And you get introduced over to somebody's house, and you're there in front of their broken Windows machine. And sometimes when that happens to me, it makes me feel like I want to vomit, because it is absolutely a frustrating to try to fix, because it's really up to Microsoft to provide its own users with support, which it doesn't necessarily do. That you get this box that turns on and then does the welcome to Microsoft, and yeah, you have like little happy paperclip guys and tutorials that are built into the system, but quite honestly, if you need to RTFM, why can't you RTFM about Linux?
Because it doesn't have a paperclip.
You can have a paperclip guy in OpenOffice if you really want.
But will he shout out man pages?
But in any case, the article Who's Supporting You is it's a story how Vance took his friend through the journey of the calling up Sony, who he bought the computer from, and their support staff not being able to give them proper information about what to do, and Microsoft certainly won't take your phone calls unless you want to pay them as much as a psychic hotline. And I've never honestly done it, but I've been told that the psychic hotline might do a better job in telling you what is wrong with your software than Microsoft's own staff can. So no matter what operating system you are using, you've got to ask the question, who is supporting you? And you got to go with an operating system where you have friends who will guide you through the journey of learning and understanding how to use it. And Linux is ready to do that, now more than ever. There are some folks in the world. The only one that I know of is the computer room somewhere in Indiana. The Pritchard family runs it, where you can go into a brick and mortar store and walk out of there with a computer that is running Linux, and that they will continue to provide the support for it. So, that's out there. There are few and far between, and maybe there should be more of them out there, or maybe a lug should possibly step into that role, just as long as it doesn't get too commercial, you know? A lug certainly cannot become a business, because that would certainly corrupt things. It can become a non-profit corporation. The Ohio Linux Fest is a non-profit corporation in the state of Ohio. But I feel that if we should ever encourage a Linux users group to set up a store and start selling Linux? No. I honestly worked for a company that was in the business of selling Linux. I won't say who they are. But I was just confronted with some people who were just full of what I can read. And these people never run Linux in their life. Never will run Linux in their life, not interested in running Linux. However, they want to sell it because they think that there's money in it, and if they felt that there was money in selling umbrellas, they'd be selling umbrellas instead. But the real strength behind Linux is a lot of people with the heart really do an excellent job. And that's why I feel that I'm blessed that the true Linux company that I've felt blessed to serve all these years is the Ohio Linux Fest and not some for-profit venture. So did I answer all your questions there?
Yeah, I think you did an excellent job of answering my questions. I appreciate your feedback, and gives me plenty of stuff to consider.
Mark Shuttleworth, he has raised the awareness of Linux outside of the Linux community tenfold.
Well, I will say this right here on your show, Mark. If you're listening, we would love to have you at the Ohio Linux Fest at any time. Please do consider putting Ohio Linux Fest a priority, that there are lots of Americans over here who are running Linux, that it is absolutely a global force, that I really do appreciate, Mark, what you are doing in markets like Canada and England and South Africa. However, the United States is ready for Linux. And surely, Linus Torvalds did appreciate that fairly early on. That's why he chose to start his life and raise his family in the United States. Therefore, I really hope that some Linux personalities, especially Mr. Shuttleworth, will at some point talk at a conference, any community-oriented conference here in the United States, about the Ubuntu project and how he got going on that. And I really want to thank Mark Shuttleworth for bringing Joan O'Bacon to the Ohio Linux Fest, because if your company wouldn't exist, then Joan O'Bacon wouldn't have a job to talk about how wonderful Ubuntu is.
Yeah, but you're getting the next best thing to Shuttleworth, though. You're getting John O'Bacon, right? Shuttleworth, John O'Bacon?
John is a really fun guy. He really is. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him.
It's all about the community, baby.
I'm annoying, but hi, John O.
He doesn't listen to our show.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't listen to any show. He admitted that.
Okay.
He doesn't listen to anything.
Since I've been talking to people over your show, I will talk to Jono over your show. Yeah. Jono, what's the deal with shutting down your podcast? For crying out loud, you had plenty of fans, and yeah, I understand that the same personalities get busy, but you gotta rotate new personalities in to really keep your show contemporary and to make sure that the same old people don't get burned out. And I presume that's how you got survived for the past 5 years, because how many of you guys are the original cast of the Linux Link tech show there?
We're all the original cast.
That is phenomenal. I applaud you, and I certainly applaud your efforts, because the Ohio Linux Fest, while we're a one-day show, you guys are a weekly show, and we only have energy to put our content together once a year, and you have the energy to put your content together week after week after week, and how you don't burn out is beyond me.
Don't congratulate us. We're the Garbage Can of the Linux Podcast community.
Well, we've experienced a considerable amount of burnout within the Ohio Linux Fest team. That some people think that, oh, gee, it's only some of the same people from the beginning are the ones who are involved in the Ohio Linux Fest, and I can't possibly break in. Well, that's not true. I was not a founder of the Ohio Linux Fest. I was just a boss speaker at year two, and I'm just perhaps have a little bit of a loud mouth sometimes. I take charge and just elbow my way in, and if somebody doesn't like that, too bad. I help save the Ohio Linux Fest from other disaster. But I can't just dwell on the fact that some people just may not exactly feel that that was the appropriate thing to do. I don't want to be a girl. What's your cussing policy on the show lately, folks?
We don't have a policy. We have, you can say whatever you want.
Okay, well, there was a Saturday night skit around the Democratic National Campaign where one of the newscasters said, "Bitches get things done. I'm a bitch who gets things done." And if people don't like that, then too bad. However, there are some people, both men and women, who had been involved in the Ohio Linux Fest and got a little intimidated by some of the challenges involved, and they moved on. Or there are some people who moved on to other endeavors, and I really wish them the best in whatever they try to do, and some of them just transition into friends of the Ohio Linux Fest without being part of our team. For example, Paul Ferris, he was one of the ones who was instrumental in year one of the Ohio Linux Fest. However, this year he's not involved with organizing our show, but he is going to be a fantastic speaker who will be talking about having a open source career. And why wouldn't you want to foster these relationships as they move and they change into new relationships? And I keep thinking that this is a little bigger than a community. It's a neighborhood. That you become almost family to the people in your neighborhood, and you feel a sort of kinship that when somebody moves into your neighborhood that you want to embrace them and have a potluck and really show them what are the facilities and, around where you live to work, to grow, to play, to live, because everybody who lives in that neighborhood has the common interest to make their place the most awesome place to live. So why don't we just go ahead and make Linux the most awesome place to live?
You know what, Beth Ann? Let me fill something in for you here, because you might not be aware of this. And I take it you listened to Lug Radio up until the end, yes?
Quite honestly, no. I fell out of my chair whenever I opened my Linux Pro magazine and saw that they had taped their last show.
Oh, well, see, this is what happened. You can read in between the lines. A few months prior to their announcement of their final show and their final show, John O'Bacon had purchased a new Dell machine, and he did not purchase a Dell with Ubuntu pre-installed. So I suspect that he had gotten Vista on that original Dell. And what most people don't know is is that the experience of Vista, the wow started then for him. The wow started then. Which would be the wow started now for him. He has essentially turned his back on Linux and is finishing out his contract with Ubuntu so he could be the community manager for Vista. Most people don't know that.
Just wait till he finds out about it.
All righty then.
So, yeah, that's unfortunate, but, yeah. You can read between the lines. That's what happened.
People, if you believe that, I have a bridge in Pittsburgh to sell you. I have lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania all my life, and some people get confused by that because I'm running a conference in Columbus, Ohio, and folks, you can get a lot of business done over the internet, fax machines, and the telephone. But what is absolutely close to my heart with Pittsburgh is this whole concept of neighborhoods that I was telling you about, because the first virtual neighborhood was coming out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now stop me if you guys know which neighborhood I'm talking about.
No clue.
It was broadcasted wirelessly. It reached millions of homes. It still reaches millions of homes to this day. And is still a virtual neighborhood that children probably all over the world by this point
Mr. Rogers
get to learn, grow, and be exactly who they are. And if there isn't anything more to being a geek than being exactly who they are, is Mr. Rogers. No, Mr. Rogers was not on KDKA. He was on WQED, which is right down the road from the University of Pittsburgh where I went to school. And at the University of Pittsburgh, I was a intern at Pittsburgh Supercomputing, where I got my first exposure to a Linux desktop physically on my desk, that they had enough confidence in me saying, well, look, you're intelligent enough to figure it out. That's when I decided to look up resources like WestonPA Linux Users Group, and I'm not shy about it. I don't consider it cheating or what have you that I reached out to OLUG in the early days, and I really honestly can't figure out how anyone else survives in those early days other than reaching out to your Linux Users Group for help. But the way I think of things is that there are a lot of people who have some misconceptions about Linux, and that keeps them away, too. I first saw Linux at an Egghead store. Do you guys remember Eggheads?
They didn't have them around where I was, but I know what you're talking about.
I went into an Egghead, and they had a copy of, an early copy of Red Hat sitting there on the shelf. This was circa 96, and I was an early college student back in those days. And I looked on the shelf, and I saw it priced there for $120. Now, Mom, if you're listening, $120 was a whole heck of a lot of money, and that's why I spent the majority of my college career living at home, because that was a whole lot of money.
Was that $120 for the Red Hat system?
Yeah, $120 for a Red Hat. And I was attracted to it because I knew that some people back in those days were putting together community BBSs. And I figured that those were really the elite people who could build their own BBS. And if I could only be half as elite as somebody who could build their own BBS, then I was really somebody. And I took a look at that $120 price tag and just got so shocked by it. Like, not only isn't this me, this will never be me, and just stepped away almost to the point of running away from the shelf. And it was just absolutely tragic that I had to wait 2 more years to fully realize and appreciate that, yeah, I could have been like everybody else back in those days, downloading the Slackware floppies off the internet, but I didn't know about Slackware. Instead, I started poking all around to different websites, and for whatever reason, I landed on Plan 9. And for those listeners who don't know what Plan 9 is, it's an absolutely weird operating system that is intentionally named after the movie Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Classic.
And it had a very narrow supported hardware list back in those days. And I took a look at that, and we were like, wow, this is hardware shock. I mean, this is sticker shock all over again. And not only can't I afford a non-Microsoft operating system to install over the top of my pre-existing hardware, I can't afford a free operating system because I can't afford the specialty hardware that it runs. So I figured that I was really doomed to run operating systems like DOS and Windows 3.11 forever, because back in those days I was still resisting Windows 95. Remember, circa 96.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, because that's, you know, I essentially came to Linux the same way, finding a boxed set of it in a Staples that I was working at back in 90. God, it might have been 97, 98 or something like that.
You started out with Red Hat too, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah, that's the first.
The very first one, right?
That's what I bought. I'm like, I was working at Staples just trying to get some ground experience in their tech bench area. And I saw that there, and I'm like, wow, that's an operating system. That looks cool. I got to see what this is all about. For $20. Not $120, Beth Lynn. $20.
I would have jumped on that. I think even my broke college student me could have afforded dollars.
And now they just, like, give it away. They throw it at you. Ubuntu will send you a disk. You buy magazines and books, and they're just like, they're like the subscription cards in there. You buy a Linux magazine, and you open it up, and the, you know, the Linux distros are just dropping out of it.
I want you guys to guess which distro I started with, like which one I installed the first time.
SUSE.
Slackware.
SUSE.
Any more from the IRC channel?
How about Debian?
You are all wrong.
Oh, wait.
I will give the IRC channel 60 seconds.
Lindos.
Probably some latency here.
Lindos, Caldera Linux. Caldera Linux?
Yep, you got it, the Caldera Linux. But there was a book that was 24 Hours Learn Linux that I purchased off of a book club. And in this book club that I got an opportunity to be marketed for more and more and more books until I told them finally to cheese off. But we had an opportunity to not only have a fully installable operating system, but some documentation as to how to really use it there in the back of the book. And that was really awesome that you could get from zero to a Linux user just because I had agreed to be marketed to by a book club. And unfortunately, it just, in this day and age, it doesn't scale. That Linux distros come out so frequently that it's almost an injustice to put your most recent distro in the back of the book nowadays. Because once you get to the store, once you actually purchase the book, and you get the courage to open the software and put it in your computer, it's probably horribly out of date by that time anyhow, and it's not going to give you an happy Linux user experience if you are sitting there downloading patches from here to Kingdom Come. Worse yet, you accidentally buy a 5-year-old copy of a book and the repositories that it refers to are not available anymore. And I really wish that a book publisher would really solve this problem where I think what they can do is they can say, well, here's a coupon to get the most recent, latest, and greatest copy sent to your home of this media, because we're not going to provide you the old media, because by the time it gets to the stores, it will be out of date anyhow.
That's a thought. That's a good idea.
Keep by still in existence. Let me bring up a web browser.
who?
I think they were called Cheap Bites.
Cheap Bites. Is that the place where you can get CDs really cheap or something?
Yeah, basically they're charging you a nominal cost for the media and charging you for the shipping. And really, if a book publisher would partner with some people like these, that would be sufficient. Because quite honestly, not everybody has a broadband connection. Even in 2008, despite Congress's promises, we still do not have broadband to everybody's home. And that's another political transit, perhaps, for another day. But there's the other point of not everybody can afford a computer that's good enough to have a CD burner. And perhaps some of these distros I'm seeing on the page here may not necessarily be appropriate for the type of person who's got their Pentium 2 and still scratching their head and seeing what to do with it. But I don't know. There's got to be some way to get these people Linux other than hoping and praying that they have a local Linux user script to go to. I used to distribute a Welcome to Linux kit, and quite honestly, I don't know why I stopped the Western Canada Linux users group. I pretty much put an open call out there. Anybody, yes, anybody who wants a free NOFIX disk and wants to give me a shipping address in which I can mail it to, I will burn you a NOFIX disk, and I will mail it to you. You will not have to pay me a single dime. And I'll put that shout out to anybody. If anybody who needs a NOFIX disk, a Ubuntu disk, a Fedora disk, for crying out loud, if you cannot get it together to buy it off Cheap Bites for whatever reason, and you cannot reach out to your local bugs, then I'll download it and burn it and mail it to you, and it will be my personal gift to you. Just pay it forward. Pay it forward, not necessarily even to somebody in the Linux neighborhood, but pay it to some other worthy soul that you can help with the skills and talents that God has blessed you with.
That's nice. And so true.
Yes, my email address is BethLynn, BethLynn, at OhioLinux, LINUX.org, O-R-G. To anybody out there who may be listening who wants me to send them Linux, or heck, I will even send you a CD full of open source Windows software if you want it. That anybody who's desperately crying out there that if only somebody would send them a CD that they would try, then I will definitely do that. Because I feel like I owe it to my past self who stood there with utter sticker shock there in the egghead for thinking $120, how could I ever afford that? Because really, software ought to be free. Did anybody here participate in Software Freedom Day in their local hometown?
Unfortunately, I was drunk at the time. No,
Chandler's in Virginia.
I didn't have the opportunity. I was with my kids all day. But I celebrated by exposing them more and more to Linux.
I went down to the University of Pittsburgh, and I stood there in the corner with some of my colleagues from Western PA Linux Users Group, and I was passing out flyers to the Ohio Linux Fest to anybody who really gave me the answer of, I already use Linux, or my significant other uses that stuff, those types of people who would automatically get an Ohio Linux Fest flyer, because Ohio Linux Fest is really where you ought to be to network with your neighbors within the Linux neighborhood. But for the people, for whatever reason, they're not ready for Linux. Okay, sure, I will give you a CD full of free software that you can take home and run on your Windows computer. And it's part of the system administrator ethics I have, that I really, really do not want to see people pirate software. I really don't. There used to be this idiot, honest to goodness idiot, who would come to our log and insist that we give him pirated Microsoft software because we were Linux people and we were doing Linux because we hated Microsoft. I don't do Linux because I hate Microsoft. I really honestly don't hate Microsoft. Microsoft sometimes disgusts me. It usually just bores me to tears. And I'd rather be into a system where I can get my fingers around playing it. But people are there walking through the University of Pittsburgh and going up and down the street. They're more thinking about the Pitt football game that was going on at the time than they are really thinking about what to do if somebody offers you free software on the street corner. My goodness, what's the catch here? It almost felt like that we would have done a better job giving these things away if we said software $10.
Well, you know, I have a funny story about what I did for Software Freedom Day.
You tell.
I went to Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia, and I just sat around and harassed the Windows administrators and told them how shitty their operating system was and how much better mine was.
Oh, Rick, I can picture you doing that without any problems.
Quite honestly, if you're looking for opportunities to get arrested, that's one of them.
Oh, no, they won't arrest me there, trust me.
I'll
turn my volume down a little bit, they're complaining. The reason they won't, it's a little bit of an inside joke, Beth Lynn, because I actually work as a systems administrator for Thomas Jefferson University.
Okay.
So I actually do that whole thing for Software Freedom every day. I take great pleasure in reminding them that when their stuff is down and broken and not working, that my machines, all my Linux boxes, are up and working just fine.
It was really a pleasure to work for EDUS for the majority of my career. I started my career working at the Community College of Allegheny County behind the help desk, and that's where I figured, okay, I'm making $4.75 an hour, and you want me to pay $120 for Linux? No, I don't think so. To working at Carnegie Mellon for about 6 years, that EDUS are a great place for people to learn about Linux, not only in the classroom, but through networking with other people, or even if you're full-time staff. Oh my goodness, I definitely have full empathy for the people who are still full-time staff in EDU, because that alone is a labor of love. where I think that the primary reason why I was there for so long, I really did receive joy out of knowing that I was installing Linux on systems that were going to go on the desktops of the very next brightest and greatest PhD students of computer science. Now, those types of researchers, once they graduate with their PhD from these types of universities, Carnegie Mellon certainly is known in providing Linux on the desktop. You've got MIT and Stanford have been doing it just as long, if not longer, than Carnegie Mellon has since, probably the past 12 years, ever since they gave up on the CMU mock. But really, it was an opportunity to serve the Linux neighborhood in a way that a lot of people take for granted, that if you provide a Linux box for one person, whether it be the next brilliant computer scientist, or whether it be a stay-at-home mom who you grew up with, then you are really giving these people an awesome tool to excel in whatever they really want to do with their life.
Beth, I have a couple of questions for you, because we're getting close to the end of the show here. First, you had mentioned a few times that your mom is listening to this show tonight, and of course your husband. Are both of them running Linux?
Well, Mom, I have given you your laptop that runs Linux. I have no idea why you can't remember your password, but you're absolutely right, Mom. It's time that we try again. And we get a Linux on some other piece of the software, I mean, some other piece of hardware that will work for you. And it's absolutely pathetic, Mom, that you continue to run your Windows ME computer even though the USB doesn't work anymore. We really do need to get you some better hardware. And quite honestly, I've got some better hardware in my basement that I could install Linux on, but I gotta say, Mom, thank you for your patience with me, how I've been blowing you off recently with all the work that I've been doing with the Ohio Linux Fest, and you've been just absolutely wonderful in understanding that, and I want to thank you. My husband, he still works at Carnegie Mellon School of Computer Science, and he is the Linux group there at the help desk at the School of Computer Science. So if there are any students, faculty, or staff who still work at CMU, definitely tell Bill Walker at the help desk that I say hi.
Fair enough. Anything else that you would like to relate to us about OLF tonight? 2 weeks away, isn't it? So 2 weeks or 3 weeks? 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks away, and there's just so many balls that I got up in the air that it's absolutely crazy. So if I owe you an email, please just cut me some slack. And if I say something to you that doesn't make any sense, then just let it slide. Because quite honestly, everybody needs to be at the Ohio Linux Fest. My husband's going to be there. My mom's going to be there. John Maddock Hall is going to be there. Peter Salas is going to be there. Roland Hess is going to be there. Paul Ferris is going to to be there. The Linux Link Tech Show is going to be there. Mm. What else do you need,
Thank
people?
You.
This is the Ohio Linux Fest. It's free. You can go onto the website right now, and you can register for free. If you don't have a ride to the Ohio Linux Fest, for heaven's sake, contact somebody in your log. Even if you aren't a member of a Linux users group, do it anyhow. You will meet new friends and hear interesting stories on the carpool out to the Ohio Linux Fest. And if for some reason you don't live near anywhere near the Ohio Linux Fest, and which I find it really hard to believe, considering that more than half of the population of North America lives within 550 miles of Columbus, Ohio, there is quite possibly a Linux Fest or some other community-oriented event there in your neighborhood that you don't realize that is there. What you do is you go onto the internet and you start talking to people about what's going on with the Linux community around here. And for crying out loud, if you live in Pittsburgh, if you live in Chicago, if you live in Detroit, if you live in Cincinnati, it's really not that far. And yeah, some people are saying, well, their economy's looking pretty bad now, but quite honestly, I've gotten quite a few calls from folks who say that they're going to the Ohio Linux Fest to basically just scope it out as a headhunter, and you never know who you're going to meet at the Ohio Linux Fest. That the majority of the people that I have met through the Linux neighborhood, I've met at conferences. I shamelessly reach out to people that I traded business cards with, because I'm like that, and I really do encourage people to just be bold and just be out there and just trust this, because there are a lot of really friendly neighbors out there in the Linux community, and I would like to invite everybody to the neighborhood of the Ohio Linux Fest. Really get to learn what it's about and have a great time.
And that's the Ontario Linux Fest, and what's the weekend of that?
The Ohio Linux Fest is October the 10th and 11th and the 12th. On the 10th, we will have the OLFU, that's the training day. On the 11th, we will have the main conference of the Ohio Linux Fest. That's where all the activity is. And on the 12th, that's the Sunday, don't worry, we'll let you guys recover from your hangovers. We will have an opportunity to take the LPI at a discounted rate. Now, I was telling my husband the other day, we absolutely must go to the Ontario Linux Fest, which is a couple weeks away from the Ohio Linux Fest. I really hope to see everyone who may be listening at the Ontario Linux Fest or at the Ohio Linux Fest. I probably will be running around like a chicken with my head cut off, like I usually am at the Ohio Linux Fest. And if I run away from you, please don't feel offended. I just got too many things to do. We'll definitely be more relaxed at the Ontario Linux Fest. Now, have a great time there.
I might actually go to the Ontario one if it was a little further away from Ohio Linux Fest.
Yeah, we got to get them to move the date back a little bit.
Seriously,
or something like that.
That's a show that should be like in the middle of summertime, you know?
I heard something that was pretty sad, actually, that the Ottawa Linux Symposium is no longer going to exist anymore, that they had their last conference. And so did the 2,600 folks. The last hope, the very last hope, was early on this summer, too. So, a lot of events seem to be clustering around the fall. Maybe some of us, even including the Ohio Linux Fest, should consider bumping our schedules to cover the summer. There's a lot of North America that's absolutely beautiful during the summer, but it's not a lovely place during the winter. Now, the winter time's a great time to go down to the Florida show, and they're having theirs probably in January coming up, and it's also a good time to go to the Southern Cal Linux Expo out in L.A., but there really isn't much going on, but no, in places like Ohio or Ontario during the winter months. So why not do summer? Seems like it's time for it. Somebody should, anyhow.
True.
Hey, Bethlyn, quick question for you. Do you have any information about the pre-party stuff for this year at the OLF?
Well, we are just going to encourage people to show up at Farley's. You can show up for dinner time and just migrate downstairs whenever you feel like having a happy hour. It definitely a critical mass will start showing up at 7 o'clock, and I think that the bar might be ready to kick us out at some point. I don't know. Does Ohio have any laws as to how late a bar can stay open? Because I think we might be pushing it with how some people seem to party. Now, Greg, he's a party animal. He can stay up all night drinking and talking with everybody about Linux, but that isn't for me. But in any case, if you show up 7 o'clock or if you show up at midnight, you will have a great time at Farley's. It's just right across the street from the Greater Columbus Convention Center. And if you're staying at the Drury, definitely ask them where it is, and they'll point you to the right place. If you can't stay at the Drury for whatever reason, I've been told that there's still rooms at the Red Roof, and you stay there, and there's no reason why you can't get a little tipsy if you're just going to walk home, and, you know, everybody be safe, but have a good time.
Sounds great. So there you go, everybody. There's your information on the pre-party. We're just going to start filtering in over at Barley's right across the street from the convention center. Really easy to find, like I said, right directly across the street from the convention center. Look for all the geeky people. You won't be able to miss us, I'm sure. But beforehand, we're all going to go to that Moroccan Grill, right? What's the name of that place?
Moroccan, you mean the Mongolian place?
Mongolian Grill, yes, that's what it is.
Mongolian barbecue, did I hear?
Oh, yeah.
That place is fantastic. I think we ought to get maybe Gorkhan to give them a call, though, and let them know that probably several people will be filtering in there sometime around, I don't know, what, say 5 or 6 o'clock, something like that. BD's Mongolian Grill, yes, that's the one.
Yeah, and before that, we'll be drinking many Weyerbacher Blithering Idiot barley wines.
Yes, indeedy.
Sounds like a plan, guys. I'll probably be still across the street working on putting the finishing touches on the expo at that time, but as soon as I'm done with that, I'm going to cross the street, probably have a meal at Barley's, and see what trouble I can cause there.
One quick question, Beth, before you go. Is the expo going to be in the same area that it's been the last few years, or are you in a different area now?
No. We apparently are spread out quite a bit this year. You know how we were at the one end of the convention center where you just came down the escalators and you were there?
Right.
Well, we're actually much further down the street this year.
Towards which end? Towards the Drury or
no,
the other way?
Away from the jury.
Okay.
And we're going to have actually two expo areas because I couldn't fit them all in one space. We have a community expo. That's where a lot of your fund.orgs and a lot of your fund sponsors are going to be, and they're going to have a great time. There's also the Marketplace Expo, which is going to be right in front of the keynote room. But, I apologize that you're just going to have to look at the map, and the map really only exists right now in my purse, and that's a pretty sorry excuse, but like I said before, I'm just ridiculously behind on things.
So everybody get in line to look in Bethlyn's purse.
Oh, dear. Well,
I'm always afraid to look in a woman's purse because you never know what you're going to find in there, you know?
We used to have this great event coordinator at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. And Greg used to have this really huge crush on her. Don't tell Greg's wife. But he used to have this really huge crush on her because she kind of looks like Sandra Bullock. And she did the most excellent floor plan drawings. But unfortunately, she's no longer with the convention center. So I'm kind of scrambling around for floor plan artists. Because that I am not. But in any case, if everybody just has a little patience with me and just be neighborly to me about a lot of things that are going on at the Ohio Linux Fest, yeah, I'll get to them. Just what you should do if you see me at the Ohio Linux Fest, you should do is you should give me a round to it. Now, I'm not going to tell you what size of the round to it you should give me because there are different kinds of round to it's appropriate for different kinds of jobs. So if I could get several different varieties of round to it from different random people, that would be really awesome.
What's a round to it?
Look it up, Dan.
If I could only get a round to it,
oh,
I would
a round to it. I thought you said a round to it.
Yes, a round to it.
No, I meant round to it, like R-O-U-N-D to it. I thought it was an object.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do make round to it. They're usually like a pog or something like that, or maybe a coaster. Or maybe a refrigerator magnet. Get creative, folks. Give me a round to it that I've never seen before.
That would be cool. Bethann, I want to thank you for coming on and giving us the time of day in your busy schedule, promoting OLF, and just speaking your mind. It was wonderful. I appreciate it very much. And, you know, I also appreciate all the hard work you do to make OLF a reality, the Ohio Linux Fest, because it is hands down the best Linux convention, show, whatever you want to call it, that I've ever been to. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Same
from us,
too.
See you in a couple weeks.
Yep, can't wait to see you there and get some rest beforehand, because I've seen you fly around there, and you make me tired just watching you. So.
Oh, okay. Well, have fun, guys, and I'm really feel honored that you guys gave me this opportunity to be on the show. I quite honestly listen to it. I think that you guys are doing a really great thing for the Linux neighborhood, and I'm really happy to call you neighbors.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Bethlehem.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I guess, you know, we're really running low on time, but before we go, somebody wants to call in and wish us a happy birthday in conjunction, I guess, with his own birthday. And we already mentioned who this is. So he's got a very short window to call in, him and his little buddy hanging out together. Waiting.
You mean him and the hoagie guy are hanging out?
Yeah, him and the hoagie guy.
They announced they got engaged.
Yeah. they just got back from the bathhouses, and they were shaving each other.
They want for wedding gifts is little paper bags or plastic bags with mysterious objects inside.
All right. Is this you, Trollmeister?
Yeah, it is.
Ah.
You know, I'm getting quite scared. Dan, I'm getting quite scared coming in this call tonight, because I come right on, and then I hear you talking about people shaming each other. It's just like, what's this, like a repeat of episode 37?
Yeah. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks.
How old are you today?
Sorry?
How old are you?
20.
Well, congratulations.
20?
Actually, technically happy speaking, birthday. It was like 4 hours ago, because over here it's the 25th.
Yeah, but we don't care what it is over there. What matters is what it is right here, right now.
Oh, yeah.
On the
United States, yeah, I know.
Yes.
Happy birthday, T.
Happy birthday, Charles.
And I take it Alex is over there with you too, right?
How you doing, guys?
How you doing, Alex?
Hey, it's Alex.
Now, was Alex your birthday present?
No. He gave me a birthday present, though.
Oh, that's nice. I'll bet he did.
Yeah, with 300 Danish kroner.
Wow, that's nice. So what's up, guys?
How much it cost?
Not much. Just been waiting for you guys to okay us coming on here. Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Oh, just nobody was said anything.
Oh, we were waiting for you to say something besides that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Denmark's a pretty cool place.
You came on to tell us that Denmark's a pretty cool place? The Dutch Netherlands is a pretty cool place?
You know what, Dan? Your geography is almost as bad as that of John McCain.
That's okay.
Because you know Czechoslovakia still exists.
It does, in two countries. You just put them back together. Or have they further split beyond two countries?
Nah, just two.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So you, now, Alex, you live in the UK, right?
That's right, near London.
Did you go to Lug Radio Live this year?
Not this year. I was in France actually.
What were you doing in France?
Girlfriend studying there for a year, just sorting out apartments and all that kind of stuff.
Wait a minute. You went to visit your girlfriend in France, or you were helping her move to France?
Helping her move to France.
She couldn't choose another weekend to move to France other than the weekend that Lug Radio Live was going on.
Right now.
Get rid of her, man. Her priorities are not correct.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's nice that you got, and let me guess, Alex, did you take the train?
It's a 50-minute ride.
It's a good couple of hours, actually, from where I live.
Did you drive there, or did you take the train?
Took the Eurostar, yeah.
The what?
The train.
Okay, that works, because I don't know what the heck you call it there, but we know it as a train.
We call it the Eurostar. It goes under like a tunnel.
Okay.
And it's expensive.
Look at that, Trolls. He paid good money to come out and visit you, and I hope to goodness. Is he as into, what's the dirt on him over there? Is he running Vista?
He's running an all 17 machines.
I knew it. So this front he puts up about knowing all about free software and, you know, BSD and Linux and everything, that's just a smokescreen for his Vista farm, isn't it?
Indeed. He just can't keep away from Vista love.
I knew it.
It's a ploy to attract hoagie men.
Oh, man.
They come a-running with their plastic bags.
That's right.
Oh, no. Plastic. Actually, I do have sort of an announcement to make that I know Dan will love.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, I'm back on GNU Linux after a little trip to FreeBSD, and on the desktop, that is. And you know, when you're in a big need for a certain something, you usually pick something crazy. And guess what? I'm back on OpenSUSE.
Oh, how? You know what?
Oh,
oh God! I remember.
I thought you were all about the Fedora for a while. What happened?
Yeah.
Really?
Weren't you on the Fedora bandwagon for a bit?
Sure.
What happened? You had it falling out?
Fedora dropped KDE 3 from Fedora 9 and onwards. And I'm not quite ready for KDE 4.x yet.
You know, KDE 3 is in Slackware.
Yeah, but you know, no comment.
KDE 3 is in Kubuntu.
Even further, no comment.
OpenSUSE. I remember, like, you were, like, the OpenSUSE advocate for so long, and then you finally switched to something else.
Well, Dan, you and Link aren't innocent on that front either. I mean, you pimped Slackware like it was porn.
I still pimp Slackware.
Yeah, I know. So who's better?
I'm not...
Slackware.
Slackware, yeah.
I meant nobody. You pimp Slackware just as much as I may have pimped SUSE in the past.
Yeah, but see,
we are correct in our pimping Slackware.
Oh, yeah,
the difference is we're not pimping OpenSUSE. That's the gateway to the devil,
but
right there.
Dan, you should go take a look at some stats of the Linux kernel. If you're using the Linux kernel, you're using a lot of Novell code. And especially if you're using GNOME, you're using a ton of Novell code.
Oh, I'm sure we are. As the main developers of, or the founders of GNOME are working for SUSE.
Yep. So,
you know, I'm just jesting. I think SUSE, OpenSUSE is, SUSE was the first distro I started with. You know, I'm not proud of what Novell has, certain decisions Novell has made, but I still think SUSE is a great distribution.
Yeah, actually, some of the things they've been doing recently is actually, I'm quite positively surprised.
What distribution is Alex using? Let me guess, OpenSUSE now, right?
He's Ubuntu.
Bit of Debian and Fedora.
Ah! Are you guys, like, beating each other up over there over your distributions?
No.
Or have you found harmony?
Sure, that's harmony in a lot of places, but, like, yeah. I mean, I got him to use Fedora. And the only reason is he uses Debian is because he's too lazy to install anything else.
Whoa.
Debian's great.
Yeah, what's wrong with Debian?
What's wrong with Debian?
Yeah.
I just personally don't like it, but that's me. I'm the oddball.
I just downloaded Citix. They just came out with a release. That's based on Debian testing. I'm going to check that out. Some of those guys are the same people that used to do Canonix.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to check that one out.
I think there's about 700 tech show episodes with Pat just repeating that word over and over again.
Canonix?
Canonix.
Yeah. Canonix is great back in the day.
Canonix.
Speaking of bad blasts from the past, man, I dug up my first contribution to the Linux Link Tech Show. It was a promo. You guys, way back when, I don't know, episode like 20, 30, around there, you guys were asking for promos from listeners. So, you know, I put together a little promo, and I submitted it, and you guys played it at the time. And just for a little blast from the past, I dug it up, and Dan's going to play it for us on the way out.
Cool.
Speaking of, guys, I got to get going. I got a long day tomorrow, so.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
You know, before we actually go off, and I do want to, you know, if Trolls and Alex have more to say, cool. I do want to make mention of, or let Link make mention of LinuxPlanet.org, since you were the guy who put it together and screwed it all up. And,
yeah.
I want to preface this with, hate mail can be sent to either, techshow@thelinuxlink.net or link@thelinuxlink.net, regarding any of these topics here. But, go ahead, Link. Tell us about how you failed.
How I failed. I took cue from Dave Yates and decided to put my money where my mouth was and set up this LinuxPlanet.org website, which basically is an aggregator website. And on one portion of the website, the LinuxPlanet.org/blog aggregates all the really cool and important Linux blogs out there in one place. And then there's the linuxplanet.org/casts, that's CASTS, which aggregates all the podcasts or media casts or whatever you'd like to call them from all the big name important type podcaster people and video bloggers and stuff of that sort. But yeah, head over there and check it out, linuxplanet.org. And send your hate mail now.
Actually, Dan, I did have something I wanted to mention quickly. That Alex, I was showing Alex around the town, and we went to this electronics store, and outside we saw an ad for like the Acer Aspire 1, I think it was, or whatever the thing's called. And we were like, oh, gee, well, are they selling this with Windows on it or something? Because, you know, Denmark is a Microsoft colony. And we looked on the sign, and it actually did say Linux on there. So I was surprised. The store actually selling a machine with Linux payloaded in Denmark, of all places. Now, that was a surprise.
Whoa,
look at that.
What's going on?
Hell has frozen over.
We took a picture of that that sign outside the store and put it on my blog a little later. So if you want to see it, you can check my blog.
Sweetness. Yeah,
I just thought that was cool. And also, one other thing. In the same store, we ran into some D-Link wireless cards, and on the actual box, it had a picture of Tux. Right next to the Windows and Mac OS X logos.
You know, that's more common than not. I've actually seen more and more hardware with this, you know, Linux-compatible logo on it.
Well, it's still good, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's only a couple of years ago that they didn't even mention Linux. On the back it says, you know, what the drivers is included on the CD. So that's cool.
Pat, you know, with you posting that file, it gave me an idea to drop in a few other audio clips that we have from past shows.
You should, man.
I'm doing that right now. So.
There's some really funny ones. Over the years, there's been some good ones.
Richard Queery just sent me a mock-up with LinuxPlanet.org logo on it, and I think it's cool as shit, so...
Yeah, Richard does great.
We're probably
going to
have a logo.
Him and Heathen are like the default artists for like the Linux.
Oh, yeah, man. He's a fantastic artist, so...
That might be interesting. Yeah, Pat, we went to a bar over here and they have like a Czech Royal Pilsner. Pretty good stuff.
Ah, Pilsner, good. Mm. Pilsner,
yeah,
I love.
Yeah, I was just finishing some Chilean wines. Pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Chile has some good wines. They got good climate down there for that sort of thing.
Dad, you were about to ask me something.
Oh, you'll like this clip that I put together. This is from like night from 2004, and
okay.
you'll appreciate it.
What is it?
You'll have to hear it as soon as Dan starts playing them.
When are you going to play it?
I'm gonna play it in a few minutes. So say a few more things.
Oh, okay.
So what kind of beer is popular in Denmark? Are there into lagers over there?
I don't drink alcohol much, so I don't really know, to be honest with you.
Maybe Alex knows.
They have pretty much everything, really. They just import it and stick another label on some of them.
Hey! Actually, no, we do have breweries here. The guy here just likes to be a smartass.
The only beer that I'm familiar with from Denmark is Carlsberg. And that's,
yeah.
That's made overseas now, too, isn't it?
They also have different vodkas with licorice.
Yeah, I'm not really a vodka drinker, to be honest.
Fair enough. Whiskey?
Whiskey I can get into.
Cool.
Link's the big whiskey drinker, right, Link?
I do happen to drink a bit of whiskey, bit of scotch.
Hey, Link, you ever go on one of those whiskey tours in Kentucky or Tennessee?
I have not because I have not been down that way to do that. I would love to do that though. I probably would give me heartburn for, you know, years to come, but it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I went on a scotch tour in Scotland.
What do you think of Scotland?
It rained a lot. It was very hilly. It was a nice country. People were fairly friendly when I could understand them.
Did you get any hiking?
Not really, no. A lot of drinking, though.
Okay, fair enough. I was there a couple of years ago. We went around Wales as well.
Yeah, when I was in Scotland, we were in Edinburgh, Glasgow, Inverness, St. Andrews. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, Scotland has a few decent pubs and bars.
Oh, yeah. I had a blast when I was there. I had a blast when I was in the UK. It's been so long, though. I really need to get back there soon.
All right, I'm just about ready to fire this crap off.
So what do we got playing, Dan? What do you got?
We got a ton of crap. We got all the old bits that we've done and a handful of other things, promos and stuff and old intros and outros and stuff. So you're going to love it. I guarantee it.
How about birthday from Charles?
Somebody wants to sing that. Would somebody like to sing that?
Well, Dan's the songbird amongst us.
Happy birthday to Trolls. Happy birthday to Trolls. Happy birthday, dear Trolls. Are you old enough to shave yet? Happy birthday
area
to you. No, I don't know. In the why? In the bathroom at the
beard.
Y.
Let's play the damn clips, Dan.
Hold on, I'm putting them in order right now.
Oh, man. But gee, thanks for the song, Dan. I appreciate that, I guess.
All right, here's a little trip down memory lane with some of the stuff from people who've been here since the beginning. You'll recognize some stuff. But other than that, I guess this is it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. 2 weeks to OLF.
Woohoo!
Have a happy
nighty night.
And enjoy this little trip down the past 5 years of crap from us. Here you go. Yeah, it helps if I plug in the audio. Never fails. 5 years of shows, and I always screw something up. All right, here we go. Bye-bye.
Eagle! Showtime! It's Guy's Night Out, and you've been drinking hard. The buzz is on until Alan drops the bro bomb.
Hey, bro, how about another round?
Indeed, how about it? Show that douchebag just what it means to be a bro. Because when you care enough not to care, send him to the Rockies. Coors, cold brewed, straight from the goat piss streams of Colorado. The beer of dickhead bros the world over.
In a world still hostile to open source, where tech radio shows are all about that other operating system, three maverick groups decided to go for the gold.
Hey, 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 we are here. That's episode...
This is episode 4. Episode 4.
Oh, yeah, that was a bit odd. So, yes.
The introduction is sadder and sadder and sadder.
Oh, my God.
The C programmers, we started zero.
Really, really close to them.
Mike again, just to kill us all.
Anyway. Now, two shows are missing. www.thugradio.org.
Can't find the server. No!
Where's that episode 5 of Slug Radio?
Why?
This fall, take a journey with the boys from the Tech Show across oceans and continents.
Attention all passengers.
Drop your pants and grab your ankles.
Boarding.
Damn, that's a big finger.
Oh, gotta love that Homeland Security.
To find and rescue the missing shows.
Hello? Slug Radio?
Slug Radio?
What they find will shock you.
Damn, that's a lot of bottles.
You hear that?
What?
Sounds like thunder.
Yeah. What is it?
Be prepared to be blown to the back wall of your computer room.
Holy shit! It's Mozilla!
Linux Link Studios presents a screaming little girl's production. Alan Metzler.
What's that smell?
Link Fezzington.
Hurry, put it in there.
And Dan Washko.
Woo, doggy. Get over here, Alan, you sweet pie.
Fight the big lizard in Mozilla X, the Linux Link Tech Show. Mega knockout big battle for missing Slug Radio and Slug Radio shows. One man was thing.
Oh, Dan caught one.
I got another. Quick, lighten up. We'll hit this lizard with the ass can.
And two men will find a special kind of love.
I will always love you.
Will you two get a room? And three men will find the shocking truth behind it all.
Quick, to the blogs.
Come on, Alan. Get moving.
It's not a new month yet.
But will they find Lug and Slug Radio? Mozilla X, the Linux Link Tech Show. Mega knockout big battle for missing Lug and Slug Radio shows. Coming soon.
Hey, maybe they're in here. Will you two get a room already?
On the first day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me a Linux
next distro on a CD. On the second day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me 2 Skype phone calls and a Linux distro on a CD. On the third day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me 3 geeks a chatting, 2 Skype phone calls and a Linux distro on a CD. On the fourth day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me 4 blogs a blogging, 3 geeks a chatting, 2 Skype phone calls and a Linux distro on a CD. On the fifth day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me then farting. 4 blogs of blogging, 3 geeks of chatting, 2 Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro on a CD. On the sixth day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me 6 computers running then farting. 4 blogs of blogging, 3 geeks of chatting, 2 Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro on a CD. On the seventh day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me 7 bits of playing, 6 computers running, then farting. 4 blogs of blogging, 3 geeks of chatting, 2 Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro on a CD.
Wow, this is getting long. How about we move along to the money bus?
Christmas, the tech show gave to me 12 podcast casting, 11 Slackware updates, 10 fingers typing, 9 kernels compiling, 8 CDs burning, 7 bits of playing, 6 computers running, 2 Dan is farting, 4 blogs of blogging, 3 geeks of chatting, 2 Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro.
Welcome to the Tech Show, a year in review.
Pulling the swing, pulling the swing, pulling the swing, pulling the swing, Tech Show.
In the beginning, there was nothing. Just an idea. Static, really. It all started maybe a year and a half ago. I had been listening to another Linux web radio show for a long while now, and I began to get the idea about doing something similar. I thought it might be fun to try and make a downloadable audio show that covered topics about Linux, open source, and technology. Something along the likes of some of the good presentations we've had at our LUG meetings. So I finally ran the idea past Dan to see if he would be interested. And he was. Dan, at that point in time, had been experimenting with running an Icecast server in his house so that he could pump his favorite band The Clash around from computer to computer while he was there working.
So Link calls me up with this idea of doing a web radio show. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, here's another CFK debacle he's going to rope me into. He brought up about the streaming server I had played around with a few months beforehand. I don't even know why I did it, but hey, I got to stream The Clash. That was before we became RIAA Enlightened. Anyway, I thought, what's another LUG project? At least this sounded like fun, and with Link gung-ho behind it and me on board, it would probably go somewhere.
And thus was born the idea that we could probably do the show live. I thought that would be a great thing. And then we could stream the current show repetitively until it was time for the next one. That would give everyone a chance to hear it. So we set a date. Wednesday, September 24th, 2003. And I got down to the task of making our intro music. I found some pretty cool free techno MIDI music on the web, and I converted that over. And our singer is actually Flight, which is a text-to-speech program available for Unix. Altogether, I think it turned out pretty well.
Link really took off with the idea. He generated this opening music, and I gotta say, I was really impressed. It's one of those pieces where you sit back and say to yourself, man, how did he do that? Where did he get that music? And exactly what was that voice saying? Well, admiration was soon followed by, you know what this needs? Some fart sounds.
Of course, Dan came over and added his own personal touches. And that became the ending music. The show was born. Hi, and welcome to the very first edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. My name is Link Fessenden, and we also have with us tonight our co-host Dan Washko and the ever-popular Alan Metzler.
Back when the Tech Show was first planned, I wasn't even a part of it. All I really knew of it was just the emails that Link and Dan were putting out on the mailing list.
Boy, Alan really saved our butts that day. He came through with a mixer and then ran out to Radio Shack for us and got us some mics that worked too.
Then I remember down in the basement I had an old Radio Shack mixing board, so I sent Link an email asking if he wanted to use it for the show, and he replied yes, so I stopped over at Dan's that night, and the rest is history.
First off, I'd like to once again thank Alan the man for bringing over to the mixer and running out to Radio Shack and getting us a new mic. If it wasn't for him, this thing wouldn't be possible today. But equally important is the software we're running this on. This week was quite sweet because the official stable release of Dynabolic has been put out. It was just yesterday that it was actually made official. 1.0, that's what we're running right here, right now, using Muse to stream our mics and other sound effects in.
And this is the third rendition of Dynabolic that we've done so far, right, Dan?
Yes, it is, and all have worked admirably.
Of course, we did run into our share of problems along the way.
Come on. You gotta stop that.
Screwing up. A 15-minute delay. Holy mackerel.
All right, and we're back.
Technical difficulties.
Sorry about that.
Just we seem to be having a few technical difficulties.
Technical
difficulties.
I should do it. Go ahead.
We up and running?
We should be.
Hey, everybody, they say that we're up and running again.
We should be.
Technical difficulties.
Screwing up. Holy mackerel.
And we've also had our share of sideline projects going on.
Still sitting over here futzing with the USB.
Well, he just started working on it 5 minutes before the show started.
Right.
You know he's doing something, because like, it's a tech show. What are you coming here? He's got to be making something the show, and Dan's over there doing his freaking compile something or something every damn time.
I'm not compiling anything right now.
And we've also taken great liberties in harassing one another with the GIMP.
Gimp
and stop, babe, trying to make it look like Alan.
I GIMP.
Gimp and stuff.
Gimp.
And of course, our level of preparedness is on par with no other.
We tend to only think about each show about 5 minutes before it starts, which works really well for us.
All in all, I guess you could say we've had a lot of fun with this show. We poked a lot of fun at each other, all the while giving you some news and our opinions about Linux, open source, and technology. I know we've learned a lot, and we hope you have too. We hope you've had a lot of fun listening to us over the last year and continue listening to us in the future. So wherever you are tonight, join us in celebrating the one-year anniversary of the Linux Link Tech Show. Cheers! And here's my best wishes for many more.
Pulling the flink tech show.
Illegal operation. Illegal operation.
Windows Crash Radio.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Oh, what? Damn pop-up. Okay, here we go. All right. Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, take it off. Yeah. Go. Damn it. Come on. Oh, what's going on? Oh, yeah, okay. That's it. All right. Yeah. There, go for it. Put it on. Prep it all. Shit. All right now. Yeah. All right. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like that. Come on. Yeah. I know it's what you want. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Here comes the money. All right. Here we go, baby. Ooh. In there, okay. Crash! No! Explorer, no! Pop-ups have you missing the money shot? Get your porn the way it was meant to be. Pop-up free. Get Firefox. It's just better. www.mozilla.org.
What's going on in here?
Nothing now. Mozilla Firefox. Don't get caught with your browser down. Brought to you by the Friends of Firefox and the Explorer Eradication Team.
Ohio Linux Fest, the Midwest's best free and open source software conference. In Columbus, Ohio, October 10th and 11th. www.ohiolinux.org.
Hi, this is Pat, and I like to listen to the Linux Link Tech Show every week because I want to find out if Dan is going to gas out Alan and Link, especially after drinking a six-pack of Guinness and eating a jar of pickled eggs.
Ohio Linux Fest 2008, Columbus, Ohio, October 10th and 11th. Admission is free!
Yeah.
Ohio Linux Fest 2008. Columbus, Ohio, October 10th and 11th. Visit www.ohiolinux.org for more information.
Stir up all that's in the past. I knew you would last. Fu Young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of. And unto this, Conan, destined to bear the jeweled crown of Aquilonia upon a troubled brow. It is I, his chronicler, who alone can tell thee of his saga. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Oh, lean
fire
back.
Open his beer and see if it explodes.
No, you don't want to do beer. We want to all lean back and have a nice
Dan brings
cold
up beers for him, but like nobody else.
We want a nice cold.
Did you want a beer?
Balls.
No.
I figured you would because you were driving and I didn't know. I thought Link might have drove. He never
drinks
drove, beer.
No, so.
Did you want a beer?
I could have had a beer. And
did you want a beer? Do you want a beer?
Yeah, why not?
You want me to get you a beer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to start drinking. That was at 5 o'clock today. I'm almost through the whole case. It's ice brewed.
Yes.
Ice filtered. Ice filtered. It's good,
oh,
though.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, we do have beer for this show. And the beer for the night has already been drunk, and it was pretty good, actually, and it's Weyerbacher Prophecy.
This is like more last minute than the time Dan showed up all liquored up. You remember that? The man gets a couple of beers in him, but it's all downhill after that.
Beers in me, that's a problem.
I'm not going to be drunk.
I'm down for getting hammered.
Thing there,
tiki bar.
They're going to be pissed drunk.
Tiki bar,
man.
Yeah.
They're British, man. They drink like fish.
God damn.
A tiki bar run. All right.
Yeah, those Brits, man, they drink like fish.
It'll be our celebration for Lug Radio.
I like the way how Pat standing up so he could give the beer the chair.
Yeah, there you go.
He's giving the chair.
Gotta have priorities
in life,
my friend.
And what's tonight's beer of choice there, gentlemen?
This is a local beer from a brewery here in Eastern Pennsylvania called Weyerbacher. And the brew that we are drinking is called Blithering Idiot.
Weyerbacher beer.
It's a barley wine style.
I thought you were going to give me one of them.
You want one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we're good. So, yes, in fact, for your listening pleasure and information, we at the Linux Link Tech Show, like most other Linux people, do indeed drink beer.
Cheers.
All right, did I kill the conversation?
We just found out that the beer we're drinking is 11.1% alcohol. Now I know why I feel the way I do, man.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Are you tired of when iPodder crashes or misses a podcast? Is iPodder X not powerful enough? Are you tired of the software not doing what you want it to do? Do you need a podcatcher that works on multiple platforms such as Linux, Mac OS X, AIX, and even Windows? Then try Bashpodder. Bashpodder does what you want it to do and when you want it. Bashpodder. It just works.
Spellbooks. Hey, if you're looking for a great podcast, tune in to the Linux Link Tech Show every Wednesday night, everything from open source to Linux to awesome interviews. Wednesday night, the Linux Link Tech Show. Don't miss it.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi. Sushi. Sushi, sushi.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's so nasty. Well, gag me with a furball.
The Linux Link Tech Show.
You guys are so weird, we have nothing to compare you to.
How dare you stand there and criticize? Do you think I don't know what's going on around here?
Do you want to make your own choices? Or do you want the state to make those choices for you?
Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show.
On your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up. Link it up. And take it away. Take it away.
The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mics.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
Crom. I've never prayed you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad. Why we fought or why we died. All that matters is that two stood against many. That's what's important. Valor pleases you, Crom. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then the hell with you.
Yeah, well, that's a nice little trip down memory lane there. Thanks for listening. If you actually hear that long, then to hell with you. We'll see you next week. We'll see you at OLF. And have a happy. Thanks a lot. 5 years has been great. Here's to the next five. Peace out, yo. If I can find out how to stop this damn thing.
Ow! Yeah.
Or whatever. It's never put on any distribution. You can't get a hold of it. It really sucks. That's all I can say about that. Pisses me off. I'm disappointed with it.
Can you speak louder, Link?
He's got the speakerphone on.
Oh, okay.
How are you doing, Dan?
All right, how are you doing?
Not too bad.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty, so pretty, witty, and gay. What's that from, Pat?
No idea.
Link knows.
From Dan's favorite musical.
And that is?
And that is? Oh, Brenda.
Maria. Maria, Maria, Maria.
Yes, I like how.
When you're a jet all the way.
West Side Story.
That's it. That's what I like to hear.
You're a bastard.
What?
What? You're a bastard. Admit it.
I know. I can't help it.
Hello. Hey, Al.
Alan's pretty. Alan's pretty.
He's so pretty and witty and gay. He's just gay.
Why is there an echo? It's because Link has his speakerphone on.
Ah, okay. So Dan going gay, gay, gay in the background.
Alan.
I just realized I never bothered to set up the server here. The IRC room.
I just fired up stick cam.
Cool.
No. No.
No. No.
Welcome
no,
to Alan's Bathhouse of Fun. How may we be of service to you today, sir?
There you go.
And then he comes in. How much for that penis in the window? Arf, arf.
Yum, yum.
I'll have you know it's worth a lot more.
It's used.
It's used. Yeah, thankfully for that at least.
But you don't want to know where it's been used.
Hey, no.
There's some kind of song about the Hershey Hawk.
Hawks in gold and hopes he will come back. He may not hold a soul.
Inspiration. What are you listening to, The Dead?
Yeah, Terrapin. I always like to listen to Terrapin.
This I will not ask. Mystery's dark and vast.
Hey, Alan, is that you with the air conditioner going full blast?
It's not going full blast. It is on in the background, but it's very low. I'll be turning it off in a little bit.
How you doing, Beth?
I'm doing great.
Sorry for the echo. Link has to have his speakerphone on right now.
Well, I was hoping to do the speakerphone, but if that causes an echo, I'll certainly sacrifice.
Well, no, that's not you. That's Link.
Okay. I'll go back to the speakerphone then.
Uh-oh.
Just in case I need to type and look something up, you know.
Get ready for the major echo.
Okay, Dan, you whiny cock.
Not here, big boy. Well, who just dropped off?
Beth. I thought she was going to, maybe she's going to a different phone.
Speakerphone. Alan's got a simple bone for a speakerphone. It's Troll's birthday today.
It's also our five-year anniversary.
Isn't it?
Happy B-Day, T.
Is it our fifth year or the end of our fourth year?
This is the end of the fifth year.
End of the fifth year?
It's a long time.
We're going into our sixth year, dude.
Oh.
We're going into it, yeah.
This is the start of the sixth year.
16th year.
According to the other shows, we're in our 432nd season.
Oh.
Alright, now I wonder if the stick cam face got sound or not tonight.
What happened to our guest?
She says we hung up on her. I don't know how.
How are you talking to her?
She's in IRC.
She is? Well, I don't see her.
She's in it, Beth Lynn.
But where does she say we hung up on her?
She's IMing me.
Oh.
She's in the IRC.
We didn't hang up on her.
No, we didn't hang up on her.
It was an accident if it happened. I will be right back.
I blame it on Dan.
Yeah, it's always Dan.
Bastard Dan.
Oh, well, I guess I got to figure out how to get the audio going through Stickum again. Unless I maybe knocked a plug out the back. I don't know.
I'm not even bothering with that. You know, the problem that I have with that is I just don't have any damn ambition.
Well, I wasn't able to get it working on the Acer. I wasn't able to get the video to work on that, and I sort of gave up because I figured I very rarely ever used it anyways.
You know, you really disappoint me.
Excuse me?
I say you really disappoint me, man.
Well, I tried. I did try. Actually, it works, but the problem is I don't think it's actually that it's the Acer's problem. I think it's the Stickum. I was reading somewhere where they use an old version of, I think it's the Video Linux drivers. Mm-hmm. in Windows here, or excuse me, in Linux, and I guess it doesn't like the fact that the Acer will actually put out video for Linux too. So I think it's not until the Stick'Em ever gets updated to actually be able to do that. But I could be talking out my ass because, like I said, I read that off of a post somewhere, and I know nothing about, you know, video, you know, the video codecs and stuff. So,
newsflash: Alan talked out his ass.
Yeah,
so I'm at 11.
That does happen from every now and then.
I'm not wearing any underpants. Film at 11.
No, I did put on the underwear tonight.
You ever seen a Kentucky Fried movie?
Yeah. Yes, I'm not wearing any pants.
We are building a fighting force of extraordinary magnitude.
I don't know if I just keep this on my face like that, or should I just like point it at something and be done with it? Because that looks really frightening.
Hello.
There she is.
Here I am.
There you are. Hello.
Why'd you hang up on us?
Dan was singing.
At this point, I am spinning. There's just so many things going on. Did you ever look at somebody and you can actually see their head spin? That's where I'm at right now.
I had a stepsister like that.
No, I
she hung up again?
Man, she dropped there off she goes man. Again. Yeah, she dropped off again. Beth, don't lean on the button that's on the phone.
Why is she getting kicked off?
I'm blaming it on you.
Maybe it's a bad connection.
Is Are we calling else? Her or is she calling us?
She's calling in.
Well, she just jumped out of the IRC, so...
Is she still... Are you still IMing her, Pat?
She's off. Oh, wait. Let me call her. Hold on a sec. Hold on, okay?
Uh-huh. Well, take your time.
Hey,
30
shows, 8:30.
God, Alan... Sick and tired of this. You want this, you want that.
Damn right, man.
He's demanding, man.
I've got to, like, go to bed soon.
Start the show.
Get up too damn early.
Kiss my... All right, here we go. I'll start the show. 5, 4...
Kiss my aura, Dora.
5, 6, 4... 5, 6, 7, 8...
2, 1, 0.
Ohio Linux Fest 2008. Columbus, Ohio, October 10th and 11th. Visit www.ohiolinux.org for more information.
Hi there. Are we really already in the intro?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I just
That's
want to
okay.
say something before we get started.
Go ahead.
I love it.
There you go.
Did we call you this time or did you call in?
I called her.
Okay, so you transferred her into the...
Yeah.
All right, sounds like we're having an issue with keeping you connected, Beth.
And yes.
I blame Pat.
Right. Meanwhile, Dan's the asterisk server admin.
Shh.
Picky.
Pass right. the buck.
All right.
Is Link still a Mac apologist? We can always blame him.
Yes, he is.
That's Alan.
Go ahead, blame me. I don't care.
All right, so I'm going to start the show now. Is that okay with everybody?
Do it.
All right. Beth, you know that you're live. And we're recording.
Excellent.
Okay, so I'm going to start the show now.
Let's do this.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.